Okay, I got to get on track. Matthew chapter 21. Our key verses are verses 14 to 16. Matthew 21, 14 to 16. And the title of my message is Having the Faith of a Child. I'll read those verses, three verses, Matthew 21, 14 to 16. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto him, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that we can open every week, and we can open it in our homes anytime and learn more about you, about your son, about how we are to live as believers, and also about the hope we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. If you were to think of when you were a child, you viewed the world from a different perspective. You had different eyes, didn't you? When I talk to young children, there's an innocence and simplicity in what children think and what they say. I love the fact that kids are so innocent, and I'm sure you do too. And because kids are innocent, they tend to be trusting of adults. Young children trust their parents. They have faith that their parents will always look after them. I doubt very much that a five-year-old would be worried about, is my mom going to feed me tonight for dinner? They would have absolute faith every day that they will have their needs met. It's simple and uncomplicated faith, and that's the faith we are to have in Jesus Christ. Because it's only this kind of faith that Jesus expects from us. And childlike faith in Jesus Christ as Savior truly is genuine faith. So we must ask the question, isn't that a bit simplistic to have childlike faith in Jesus Christ? Shouldn't our faith be more developed and more sophisticated? But you see, this way of thinking comes from our flesh. Because we can be tempted to think, well, if we can do things on earth, we'll be in better standing with God. And you know, this is what happened to the disciples. They had this kind of thinking. They wanted to know, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I suspect they asked that because they wanted some inside information on how they could be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Like, why else would you ask that question? Matthew 18:1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answered their question by first calling a little child to him. And then we read in Matthew 18:2-4, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, you and I are to have childlike faith in Jesus Christ. We're to humble ourselves as a little child. We're to be free from pride, free from doubt, free from skepticism. And we're to just trust Jesus Christ with all our heart. And there are two aspects or characteristics of childlike faith that are found in our text this morning. But I just want to first give you the background leading to up to these verses. The time was, period was when Jesus had just ridden into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey. This was the triumphant entrance of the Messiah that Zechariah had prophesied many years earlier. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." As Jesus rode from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, the people spread their clothes and they put palm branches down before him. And they shouted, Matthew 21:9 says, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So when Jesus arrived at the temple, he kicked out all of the all of those who were buying and selling things inside the temple grounds. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And then Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And after this event, we read in verse 14 what Jesus did. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. We don't know how many Jesus healed that day, but there were probably quite a few blind and lame people. And they came to him by faith to be miraculously healed. And while he healed these people, there was a group of chief priests and scribes who were watching him. Not only did they see Jesus healing the blind and lame, they saw and heard the children, that as we read in verse 15. "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." They weren't happy. They were sore displeased. Sore means, sorely means greatly. They were greatly offended. They were disgusted by this. The religious leaders were so ticked at what they were watching. Can you imagine watching Jesus Christ healing blind people, getting lame people to walk instantly on their feet, and being sore displeased? Like, it just, it doesn't make sense. But that was their heart. But let's look at the children, because these children, they were praising Jesus, and that was also offending the religious leaders. So let's look at these children, and there's two aspects of the faith that they had. The first is the simplicity of childlike faith. We don't know if the children were already in the temple when Jesus arrived and started healing many people. They might have followed him into the temple. But the thing is, they were there while Jesus was healing these people. And the children were looking at Jesus and seeing the miracles that he was doing right before their very eyes. They were focused on him. They were excited. They were so excited. They were shouting in the temple. The children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Crying means uttering a loud voice, means shouting. You know, when kids get excited and they start shouting, they might jump up and down. They might be really animated because they have lots of energies. Kids have lots of energy. So you can picture a bunch of boys and girls just shouting and jumping up and down, looking at Jesus and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And Hosanna means save now, or save, we pray. And they're saying, "Hosanna," or "save now to the Son of David." Son of David means they understood that he was the Messiah. And he was the rightful heir to the throne of David. So they were in effect shouting, "Save us now, O King Jesus." The chief priests and scribes were not happy seeing Jesus healed the lame and blind, and they weren't happy seeing the children looking at Jesus Christ and shouting, "Save now to the Son of David." I'm sure their disgust would have been visible in their faces as they watched. But the Bible doesn't tell the children who were shouting to Jesus. It doesn't say they also looked to these priests and these religious leaders. It doesn't tell us that some children stopped praising Jesus when they saw the look on the priest's face. They only had their eyes on Jesus Christ and what he was doing before them. It was the children's simple faith in Jesus Christ that enabled them to ignore these men. These men would have liked nothing better than to have the children turn away from Jesus Christ. But the children were only interested in the Son of God. Their eyes and their ears and their hearts were on one person, and that is Jesus Christ. They had simple faith in the Savior. You see, faith in Christ is simple faith. You can be a 50-year-old scientist with 3 PhDs and have patents on inventions that you had done, but unless you have simple, childlike faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. A 4-year-old child can understand the gospel and have simple faith in Christ, and that child can enter into the kingdom of God. There's no special education you need to understand the gospel. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew to understand the gospel. You don't need to be a certain age to understand the gospel. You just need to have childlike faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when I had childlike faith in Jesus Christ, I was 40 years old. So people go say, "Oh, you're just immature." No, it's not true. I just believed the simple gospel. It wasn't complicated. It isn't complicated. So what can happen, though, is people tend to complicate things. Sometimes a person will think, simple faith is not enough. I got to do something else. There are many false teachers feeding on this desire of our flesh that we have to do something. And they turn them away from childlike faith. We're warned of this in 2 Corinthians 11:3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The serpent is Satan. And what does he want to do? He wants to corrupt our minds with lies that he spews out through false teachers. Lies that turn simple faith into having to do things to earn salvation or to keep salvation. It's like having to worship on Saturday, or you're going to go to hell, as some denomination teaches. Or you have to take part in saving the planet. Is that not a big thing today? Churches are jumping on this bandwagon. We got to save the planet. We got to stop driving our cars. We got to stop cutting trees down, because that's going to save everyone. When you have simple faith, you can tune out all the lies and all the heresies, because you have childlike faith in the one who paid the price for your sins and my sins by dying on the cross. The only one you see through your eyes of childlike faith is Jesus Christ. You don't look at Jesus Christ and a bishop or a priest or a pope or anything else. You look at Jesus Christ. For our conversation, that's our behavior, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20. And Jesus is the only one you hear. That's what Jesus said. He said in John 10, 27, 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I have read a few stories about men and women who claim that they were once Christians, but if they've converted to something else like Judaism or Islam or Roman Catholicism or some other religion. But you see, the truth is about these people, they never had childlike, simple faith in Jesus Christ. They never believed like a child in Jesus Christ as their own Savior. And for this reason, they were never converted. They were never saved. As Jesus says in Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." People who turn away from Jesus Christ to another religion, they were never born again. They were never saved because they never had genuine childlike faith in Christ. I read a story of a young woman. She grew up in a Christian home. Both her parents were in the Salvation Army. She attended that church. But what happened? She kept her eyes open on other things beside Jesus Christ. And when in university, she met some Muslims and got interested in their faith. And over the next months, she turned away from the Savior as she was continually fed lies of the Muslim faith. And she no longer looked to the Savior. The woman never had simple, genuine, childlike faith in Jesus Christ. And she was seduced by the devil, who got hold of her heart with the lies of the Muslim faith. And what happened to her is told by Jesus with the sower and the seeds. Matthew 13, 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." We must continue to consider a second aspect of childlike faith, and that's the strength of childlike faith. Matthew 21, 16, "And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" So the chief priests and scribes said, "Do you hear what these kids are saying?" It's like they were telling him, "Don't you think you could get them to stop saying that you are the Messiah, that you are the King of Israel? Don't you think you should get them to stop praising you and glorifying you? These kids are nobodies in society. They aren't important. They're not businessmen. They're not members of the upper class. They're just a bunch of little kids making a lot of noise." But Jesus, that's why he said, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Perfected means literally bring. Perfected praise means bringing praise to perfection or thoroughly complete approval. So he's saying, Jesus is saying, out of the mouth of young children, God has brought praise to perfection. In other words, when young children praised Jesus, they made the praise of Jesus perfectly complete. Children are the weakest members of society. They don't have much physical strength, and they're dependent on their parents to live. They don't have any say in society. 7-year-old kids don't vote. They're not leaders, political leaders or business leaders. The weakest of society have placed their childlike faith in Jesus the Messiah, who is the strongest of all. That's perfected praise. The children, by their praise, have put their childlike faith in Christ as the strong Messiah who will save them. Jesus didn't consider the praise of the rich and famous men in high places. It was the weak and the dependent children who admitted their dependence on him to save them by praising him. These are the ones who Jesus considered as giving perfected praise. Jesus was quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. And that says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. This verse is a little different. It says, ordained strength. Ordained means established strength or power. So Jesus has established his strength out of the mouths of children. You see that connection? The very weakest in society have established the strength of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this very thing, talked about when he was talking to Paul, who was praying that this thorn in his side would be taken from him. And 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The strength of Jesus Christ is made perfect in our weakness. It's because when we are weak, when we're like a child, we depend 100% on our Savior. We look to him for strength to carry on every day instead of ourselves. Remember David when he faced Goliath. He was the youngest of 8 brothers. He was a teenager. The 3 oldest brothers had gone with King Saul to battle the Philistines. They would have been the strongest, right, of the brothers, because they were the oldest. And yet these 3 older brothers, along with Saul and the rest of the army, were afraid to fight Goliath. And Goliath challenged them to come against him. 1 Samuel 17:10-11. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. But David, the least of 8 brothers, he had childlike faith in God. He believed with all his heart that God would keep him safe. And he said this to Saul in 1 Samuel 17:37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David had the strength of childlike faith. God did deliver David out of the hand of Goliath, as we know. And David, just with a staff and a slingshot, whipped that slingshot, that stone, and sunk it right into his forehead. He killed the giant with a single stone. You see, faith can accomplish great things in our lives. You know, when the apostles made a request to Jesus in Luke 17:5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus responded to the request in the next verse. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He's telling them, just have a faith as a mustard seed. You'd have the strength and power to move the sycamore tree. When we have childlike faith in our Savior, true childlike faith, we have the strength of Christ to carry on. We have the strength to face trials and the battles that come our way. How often do you face a trial and you think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Instead of putting all your faith in your Savior. I do it all the time. I always look into myself first until I fail. And when my faith gets solely on my Savior, he takes me through whatever storm it is. When we admit to ourselves we're helpless without Jesus Christ, and when we turn to him, that's when we're strong. You know, I can't look to my bank account and say, hey, I've got it all covered. I got all this money in the bank, or I've got this, or I've got that. No, you don't. We're weak. You know, a number of times the disciples tried to face adversity by their own strength. But who saved them? It was Jesus Christ. And Jesus, what would he do? He would rebuke them. He'd say, oh, ye of little faith. Our strength as Christians does not come by our own efforts. Our strength as Christians comes from childlike faith in Jesus. We're called to have faith in Christ as a child. We're called to have simple and uncluttered faith. We just need to have faith in the one and only Savior who shed his blood, died and shed his blood, that our sins would be washed from our record. We need to have faith in the Savior who rose from the dead, defeating death, and is at the right hand of God the Father. With this faith, we can tune out the lies and the noise from the world. We can focus on our Lord and Savior without distraction. When Stephen was about to be stoned to death, I always marvel at this account. So he's telling the Jewish people what about their sin and what they had done to the Savior. And the Jewish people became angrier and angrier. They're gnashing their teeth and they picked up the rocks. So what did Stephen do? He looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. He saw the Savior standing at the right hand of God the Father. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's Acts 7:55. He had childlike faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't look at the angry Jews and with the rocks ready to pound him. He had that strength to face the brutal attack. You see, we must have simple faith to have the strength to face whatever trial comes our way. The Apostle Paul tells us that it was his faith in Christ that enabled him to endure all the hardships, all the beatings, all the trials that came his way as he was preaching the gospel. Philippians 4:11-13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, when trials happen to you or happen to me, maybe it's poor health, maybe it's financial, maybe it's family problems. We must remember God has allowed these things to happen. And it's hard sometimes not knowing what the future holds. But we must have faith of a child in our Savior. You and I must keep our eyes on him and not the storms that we're in. Remember Peter getting out of the boat. The mistake he made, he took his eyes off his Savior. Put his eyes on the storm and he started to sink. We must look to Jesus. We must look to him for strength and courage to face the trials. You know, it's simple faith, simple, humble faith that we will find comfort. It's simple, childlike faith in Christ that we will have peace. And it's simple faith in Christ that will strengthen us to face the days that come ahead. And we can face the days with courage and strength that only he can provide. You know, I don't know what the future holds with us. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and some of them are pretty upsetting. But you know, we got to just keep looking to our Savior. I'll just close with Isaiah 40:28-31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would just continually look to him and not the world. The world is becoming an increasingly dark place, Lord, but I thank you that we can find strength, peace, safety in our Savior. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to share the gospel with people we know, people we meet, so they too might have that hope, because there are so many people living in darkness right now. They have no hope because they don't have faith in our Savior. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for looking after us. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.